Okay, we're continuing with Drasha Haran. Today we are going to start briefly Drasha number 3. But before we start the new Drasha, Drasha number 3, I think it's a good idea to chazer over the second Drasha, the whole Drasha from beginning to end, just so we can get it all in one large picture. Okay, so just to review what the Ran said in the second Drasha. The Ran had started off saying, quoting the pasuk from Malachi, Perek Aleph, pasuk Beis and Gimel, that says, "Ahavti eschem amar Hashem, v'amartem bama ehavtanu halo ach esav liyakov num Hashem v'ohav es Yaakov." So you start off the pasuk, which is from the Haftorah of Toldos, that says, Hashem says, "I loved you," and you ask, "How did I love you?" Well, you had a brother Esav, and I loved you, Yaakov. So the Ran starts off saying, what kind of big show of love is this? Hashem is not like a father who can have emotional connections that override anything, or everything with Hashem is based on merit. So of course Hashem loves us more than Esav. What's the big, how much he showed he loved us? Everything with Hashem is on merit. So he answers, the thing that shows his love is because since Esav is our brother, he hates us with a strong jealousy. Unlike Ishmael, let's say Ishmael does not have the same hatred, jealousy, specific jealousy to the Jewish people because we are not considered their brother, like he'll explain later on in the Drasha. But Esav specifically hates us because he's our brother and he thinks he's just as entitled as we are. And since he would overpower us, since he's more powerful, if not for Hashem's great love, that's what it means. I loved you, Yaakov, in that I didn't let Esav overpower you, even though he strongly desires to wipe you out. And that's why the Ran says we have the idea with Esav that Yaakov and Esav are always amala hachareva. Like Chazal tell us that when Kitchazek comes and Ophel, with Klal Yisrael and Esav, Edom, are always on an inverse relationship. That whenever Yaakov is up, Esav is down. When Esav is down, Yaakov is up. They're always opposites. One can't be up at the same time as the other. And why is that specifically with us as opposed to, say, Yishmael or any other nation? So the reason is because every other nation in the world, so they have their kingdom, we have ours. What does it bother them? So the Jewish people will have a king and a nation, and Yishmael will have a king and a nation. What does he care? That's because the reason why Esav is worse is because Esav is our brother, and he can't handle that Klal Yisrael should ever have a melucha because he feels he's entitled to it. Because he's the older brother. So since he's an older brother, no older brother can handle that the younger brother should be in charge. And therefore, for the Jews to have a kingdom, Esav can't handle it. Because he's supposed to be the one in charge as far as he's concerned. So that's why we're always in an inverse relationship specifically with Esav. And that's why the Psukim in Bereishis Lamed Vav, Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, say, have the list of the Malachim that ruled over Edom before the Jews had a king. Like the pasuk says, "Ve'ilah ha'malachim shamalchu be'eretz Edom lifnei malach melech livnei Yisrael," as if it can't be at the same time. There were the kings of Edom before the Jews get a king, and once the Jews get a king, then Edom stop having kings. And the reason why that is, like explained, because it can't be that they'll both have kingdoms at the same time. I guess a real kingdom. So the Edom had kings, a real melech, and they had other things afterwards, but they only had a real melech till the Jews got a king. Once the Jews got a king, Edom lost a king. And then when the Jews sinned and Edom took over, so now Edom's in charge. And Edom remains in charge. And even though everyone knows the one that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash was Rome, which is from Italy and under Greece, but the Ran says that most of the Roman kings were from Edom, many of the citizens were from Edom, and therefore Rome is generally considered Edom, and that's how we're still in Galus Edom today. And that's why their Malchus is overall in charge, as opposed to the Jews, who do not really have Malchus. Okay, then he starts explaining Parshas Toldos. So Parshas Toldos starts off, Ela Toldos Yitzchak, these are the children of Yitzchak. What does that mean? That they are both remain the children of Yitzchak, as opposed to Yishmael. Yishmael was the son of Hagar. Hagar was not a real wife of Avram. She was more like a Pilegesh. Sarah was the real wife. So therefore, Yishmael is not considered really a son of Avram, and therefore they're not the same type of jealousy, as opposed to Yaakov and Esav are both from Rivka, the mother of Klal Yisrael. She's the main Ima. So That's why, so the pasuk is telling you that even after everything, still Esav and Yaakov, are both considered the children of Yitzchak, unlike Ishmael. Then it says that Rivka was an Akara, she couldn't have kids. And why is that? The Ran asks, why would Hashem give Yitzchak a wife who's like that? Because Hashem, as we all know, Hashem wants tzaddikim to daven, and therefore he makes them not be able to have kids, so that they'll daven to Hashem. However, it says, Vayeter Yitzchak al Hashem lenochach ishto. It says, lenochach ishto, next to his wife. Okay, so what does that mean? Why does it have to be that Esav is next to his wife? Sorry, why did Yitzchak need to be next to his wife? So, that's what the Ran explains, that first of all, when Yitzchak davened for Rivka to be able to have kids, it's not that Rivka was a woman who was incapable of having kids. I mean, that she was. She was a woman who was incapable of having kids. It's not that when she did have the twins, that some kind of that she had the kids even and remained an Akara, meaning that Hashem made an ace. She was incapable of having kids. Hashem made an ace. She had kids, and then after she had kids, she went back to being like her body hadn't changed. She's still unable to have kids. The Ran says that is not the case. When Yitzchak davened for Rivka, she became a nanakara. Her body changed. Her body changed, and she was able to have kids and stayed that way. So he says for something like that to happen, there has to be a change in the world of Shemayim, in the upper worlds. In general, whenever there's a change in this world, it has to be preceded by a change in the upper worlds. He says, like his example is similar to clouds and rain. That it rains because there are clouds in the sky. If you want to make it not rain, then you have to take the clouds out of the sky. That's what makes it rain on the ground, is the clouds. It's the same thing. Everything in this world is a direct effect of what's going on in Shemayim. If you want to make a change in this world, you may got to make a change in the world above it. So that's why there has to be a change in Shemayim. That's similar to the concept the Ran says, like we say, that when Hashem is Parea from a guy, he's Parea from their gods first. When Hashem wants to take to destroy a nation, he first destroys their god. And the reason that is because the gods of the nations are usually the ones that they worship, are usually the ones in Shemayim. The symbol of what they're worshiping is in Shemayim. Their Sar, their the thing in Shemayim, the Malach, whatever it is in Shemayim that's in charge of that nation. So in order to hurt the nation, he first lowers the, or whatever the word is, hurts or lowers the Malach and Shemayim, and therefore, as a natural consequence, in the Aretz, on the earth, they get lowered as well. Okay, so that's all for, let's say, a nation. So when it's a regular person, Hashem wants to change what's going to happen to a regular person. So it also, it works through something in Shemayim, and normally we have no idea who or what Malach or what's in charge of that and what has to change in Shemayim. However, when you have someone davening for someone, it also so that's also it coming through someone. So it works in the same way. And there has to be a connection, just like the Sar has a connection to the thing it's the Sar of. So too, if you're davening for someone, so you have to have, for it to be effective, you have to have some connection to that person, which is why Elisha, when he made the child come back to life, right, he put his whole body all over him. There has to be some kind of physical closeness to make there a connection between that person and the other person so that they will be considered a mashpia. For whatever reason, that's the way Hashem set up the world, just like the upper worlds have to, which are connected to the lower worlds, have to change. If you want to change something in the lower worlds, you have to have a physical connection. You have to have some kind of connection, which would be physical, to the person you're davening for. At least I guess that makes it more effective. So that's why Elisha and all the stories that the Ran brings, but one that sticks out is Elisha, who put his body over the child that he wanted to bring back to life. And Yaakov, like we had recently in the parasha, Yaakov put his hands, when he wanted to bless Menashe and Ephraim, he put his hands on their heads, because he needed to make a physical connection. And that's why Yitzchak, who was trying to change Yitzchak, Rivka, it says, Yitzchak lenochach ishto, he was next to her. He couldn't be, remember, this is Lifnei Hashem, so, and this is his wife, so it would be inappropriate for him to be any closer than lenochach ishto, but when they're Lifnei Hashem, but that's why he davened lenochach ishto, right next to her, because that makes that physical closeness. Okay, then it goes on to say, Vayisortzu abana b'kirba, and she knew that there was something weird going on in utero already, that Yaakov and Esav were fighting in utero, and she knew that was unusual, and that's why she said, Imkein lamaze anochi, which Ran understands to mean, if so, what she had asked around, is this normal? He brings the medrash, she asked around, is this normal? Everyone told her, no, it's not normal. And then she said, lamaze anochi, why is this happening to me? And she goes to the Navi, and the Navi tells her, Shnei goyim imeyaychi paredu, that you're going to have two nations that come at you, and they're going to be fighting right from the get-go. And he says, the reason they will fight is because Ravi avot Zair. The Navi tells her that the older one will worship, will serve the younger one, and therefore they're going to be fighting forever, because again, like he said, it's an untenable position, an older brother to work for the low, to be the servant of the lower brother, he can't handle it, so they'll always be fighting. But that's the way it's going to be, that the Rav, the older one, will serve the younger one. Okay, ask the Ran, why did they fight in utero? They didn't know this information. Why would they be fighting in uterus? So he says it got to be some kind of somewhat of a physical explanation how this worked, because obviously they're little babies. Why would they be fighting in utero? So he answers, it's because their natures were completely opposite. Hashem made them on purpose completely opposite. Esav was an ishadeh, so he said he was more like a guy who was out in the fields and couldn't handle staying at home. He had to run around. What we would call today, I mean, I don't know if you know, say these words, I'm just saying, what we would give an example to, it would be someone who's ADD or whatever. He needs to be out running around. He can't stay in one place. As opposed to Yaakov, is the opposite. As Yishtam Yoshev Aholim, likes to stay in the house. He likes to stay at home, doesn't want to go anywhere, and he can stay sitting and reading all day. We're talking about different temperaments that they each naturally had. Again, those are just borrowed terms. But generally speaking, they were each had completely different temperaments, one being someone who liked to be at home reading and one who wanted to be in the field. So since they were naturally opposite, so they were naturally didn't get along in the womb. That's what he says. Okay, but either way, it's obviously, as the Ran acknowledges, it's obviously a nace. It's still a nace. And what part of the nace is that how could, says the Ran, is how could two twins be so completely different? Twins come from the same mother and father. How could they be such total opposites where there's nothing at all the same about them in any way, shape, or form? So he says that was a nace, and it was the Hashem wanted to show that these were special people who were going to be fighting for eternity. That they were, it was not a regular pregnancy with regular kids. Okay, so that's why Hashem made them different and made them fighting, so people would know that. And the Ran also says, parenthetically, also he wanted them to not be so close to each other because Hashem knew that one would end up being a Rasha. And also that they would always be fighting because if the Jews ever sinned, that they would be, Esav would be there to do Hashem's will of punishing the Jews. Okay. Anyway, he also said that it was also a miracle that when Esav came out and Yaakov came out afterwards, that Yaakov was holding on to Esav's leg. That was also a miracle, and it was to show also that that Yaakov would eventually overpower Esav, eventually would become the in charge later. Okay, either way, though, if this was all Nisim and just to show the future, so the Ran asks, why is it saying Hosea in Perek Yud Beis Pasek Dalin, that this was a big favor Hashem did to the Jews. As it says, that Hashem made an ace that Yaakov is holding on to the foot. Why is that an ace that Hashem says, like a favor that Hashem did for us? It's just, it was just showing the future. So what favor is there? So the Ramban Ran says that there's a Ramban. The Ramban says that when a Navi says Nevuah, so if it's not, it's not necessarily always going to come true. And therefore, if you do some action that's similar to the prophecy, it brought it into this world. It's now already as if the Nevuah started a little bit, so then it's for sure going to come true. So the Ran goes on to say that how could that be? That sounds like it would lower the level of certainty you would have in any Nevuah. How could that be? So, I mean, if all Nevuahs can always change, and then we can't believe in Nevuahs. So the Ran says, well, it's not exactly like that, in his opinion. Rather, he said, if a Nevuah is about something bad, so then, of course, that can change. Because if a person does tshuva, if Hashem says to a Navi, something bad is going to happen to someone, they do tshuva, so then the Nevuah won't happen. So if it's a Nevuah about something bad happening, so then a person could do tshuva. If it's a Nevuah about something good, though, so, says the Ran, you would think Shura Sadin should be able to change too. Because let's say Hashem says something good is going to happen, and then they become a big Rasha. So you would think that should have been able to change. However, says the Ran, it can't be like that, because then you can never prove someone was a good Navi. Hashem gave us a mitzvah. Hashem said, if a Navi tells you something, you must listen to him. And how are we going to know who's a good Navi? Well, if he says something is going to happen, and it happens. Well, let's say he says something's going to happen and doesn't happen. That's not a proof to anything because maybe the person sinned. So there has to be some kind of system where there's something the Navi will say that should happen, and if it doesn't happen, we know he's false. So the Ran says that's about good Navuas. When a Navi says something good is going to happen, it absolutely has to happen, even if the person becomes a Rasha later on. Because this is how we know who we have to listen to. But, says the Ran, that's only where that's relevant, where that issue is relevant, where it's a Navi that you have to listen to. But what about the Avos? They weren't, there's no mitzvah to listen to the Avos. They didn't say any mitzvos that we have to listen to. So, Mamela, there's no mitzvah to listen to them, because they didn't say anything that we have to listen to. So, therefore, their Navuos, even about good, can possibly not come true if someone sins. However, that's when the Ramban comes in. If there's an act that happens that is similar to the prophecy and it already started in this world and some act happened, then it's for sure going to happen. And therefore, it's a big favor that Hashem made it that Yaakov held on to the calf of Esav, because that means it already started and that means it's for sure going to happen that eventually Yaakov's going to be in charge at the end of days. And he gives an example, Yitzchak. Yitzchak gave a bracha to Yaakov, as we all know, that said, Hevig vir lachecha, you'll be in charge. Says the Ran, well, he isn't. And most of history, he wasn't. Even if Mashiach came today, it would be the most of history, he wasn't. So how could it be? So he says, the Ran says, it's because of our averus. That's why Yaakov ended up not being in charge, because Yitzchak was an Av. His nevuos, even about the good, can change if we sin. So he says, that's why that part of that bracha didn't, part of the bracha didn't come true, because of our sins. And I would think possibly that's why it says afterwards that Yitzchak told him that as soon as Yaakov sins, you'll be on top, because of that very issue, because maybe he knew that this Nevuah would only come true if Yaakov stays if Yaakov and his children stay tzaddikim. Okay, so now Yaakov's taking of the Bechora. So he says, the Ran asks, so when Yaakov took the Bechora, it seems like a pretty underhanded situation and story, and seems unfit for Yaakov. And the Ran says, even if the Bechora at the time, before Matan Torah, didn't involve any money, it was just a matter of kavod, still it was something, and how could he sell it for a pot of lentils? And even if he says, even if you hold like the Mefarshim that say that it wasn't for a pot of lentils, it was really for some undisclosed amount of a lot of money, and the lentils were something else, just to give him some food, so still, he shouldn't have done it at a time when Esav was very out of sorts. He came back from a tired day, and he should have done it at a good time. So how do we understand the whole story of the selling of the Bechora? So the answer is that Yaakov, as we know, was making those lentils to give to his father for the Suda Savara, because his father was an Avil, because Esav had just died. Because Avraham had just died. So that's what. So Yitzchak was in Avelis. Yaakov is trying to help out his father. And what's Esav doing? Playing out in the fields. So Yaakov saw this. He says he was mekani for his father. He was upset that he had such a lack of respect for his father, his grandfather, the whole thing. So he said, well, the Ran says for his father. So he says the Ran, that the reason why the Bechor get to the Bechorah, and the reason why, as we know, there's a mitzvah to honor an older brother, Kabid Esavichas, Larabas Achicha Gadol, the reason why there's a mitzvah to honor your older brother is because the oldest child, the Bechor, is supposed to be the most like the father. It's the Reishis Ono, it's the first child of the father, so the oldest kid is supposed to be most like the father. So, since Esav had just shown that he was completely not at all like his father in any way, shape, or form, so Yaakov felt, so you don't deserve the Bechor, you shouldn't be getting the Bechor, and that's why he tried to take it away from him. And that's why it says, Michra Chayom es Bechor es Chali, means sell it Chayom, meaning like today, like you've showed today, you have nothing to do with your father, so too, sell me the Bechor. And Esav responds, I'm not going in their path, you're right. Hine anochi holech lamus. I go hunting lions. I'm going to die, I don't follow their path, so what do I need the Bechora? And then Yaakov made him swear just to be mechazik the Kenyan, just to strengthen it. And then Esav took it and was happy with the sale. He was happy for a long time. As it says, Esav ate, and he drank, and he left, and he was still mevaz the Bechora, he still could care less. Esav was happy with the sale. When did Esav regret it? when he got older, when it was time for Yitzchak to give out the brachos, so then Esav at the time of the brachos was 60 years old. At the time when he sold the Bechorah, he was a foolish teenager. He was 15 years old at the time. He was a foolish teenager, says the Ran. So that's why he sold it. Now he's 60 years old. It's time for the Bechorah. And now Esav says, oh, that was a bad idea. And even though he knew that Yaakov didn't do anything wrong, Yaakov sold it to him fair and square, and he had wanted it, but still he was angry, as we can understand why someone would be angry about that. And in the Ran adds, Hashem wants it this way. Just like they were naturally opposite, he wanted them to have to make them fight. They were naturally opposites, not get along. So to be made actions in their lives make it that they should not get along, because that's how Hashem wanted it. Okay, now, the brachos that Yitzchak was going to give. So the Ran is not sure. Were these brachos a nevuah, a straight nevuah, or was part of it Yitzchak's tefillah that it should happen? So the Ran asks, if it was a straight nevuah, what the brachos he was going to give, then why did Rivka bother having Yaakov there with the whole thing with the skin, to the hair on the hand? Why did she bother with that? If it's just nevuah, so it's nevuah. And wouldn't she want to know the future too? Why would she try to get involved there? And if it wasn't just nevuah, if it was partially because Yitzchak was davening for the person, so then how's the trick going to help? Because Hashem's not going to listen to a person's tefillah, not what they meant. Yitzchak was davening for Esav, not for Yaakov. So a tefillah's not going to be mekuyim against your wishes. So either way, whether it was Nevuah, why did Rivka get involved? And if it wasn't Nevuah, how did the trick help? Because the tefillah would only happen the way Yitzchak wanted it. Ran answers that Rivka, it was not just tefillah. Rivka knew that really Yaakov was supposed to get the Bechorah, because she asked the Navi when the kids were fighting in her stomach in pregnancy, and the Navi told her, Rav Yavod Sa'ir, the older one's going to serve the younger one. Yitzchak did not know that Nevuah, because the Ran says the people in those days the Navi were not allowed to tell over their Nevuah. He said even later Nevi'im, by Moshe, it says, Hashem spoke to Moshe, in Ol Moed Lamor, then we learn from that you're only allowed to say something over if someone gives you permission. Lamor, if they say you can say it over, otherwise not. So anyway, so the Navi hadn't told anyone but Rivka, so nobody knew but Rivka. So Yitzchak didn't know. So she knew that Yaakov was really supposed to get the Bechorah. But she was worried because she thought that Yitzchak, it wasn't just the Nevuah of the Brachos, but rather it was Yitzchak's Tefillah that was adding to it. And she was afraid that if Esav was there, it might change the Nevuah, like we said, because Nevuah in the early days, in the time of the Avos, could change. So she was afraid that Yitzchak's Tefillah would change the Nevuah if Esav was really there. So she set up the trick that Yaakov would be there. And even though it's right that Yitzchak's Tefillah for Yaakov wouldn't have worked, because he wasn't davening for Yaakov, but still, since Rivka knew he was supposed to get the Bechora anyway, the Bracha anyway, so when Yitzchak would daven, of course, the Ruach Hashem would fall on him, and he would give the Bracha to Yaakov, and Yaakov would get it mitzad, that there was a Nevuah that he should get it. Plus, this would act as an act, like we said before from the Ramban, that when Nevuah is said, and then an act happens that makes it look like it's going to happen for sure. So this way, if Yaakov is supposed to be in charge, and then Yitzchak gives him a bracha that he will be in charge, then it will make it that it will for sure be true in the future. So, at least ultimately, it would be Rav Yavod Sa'ir. Okay, so Yitzchak, for his part, as we know from the Pesukim, wasn't really sure who it was, what's coming to him. It was clear, right? It was Hakol Kol Yaakov Yedayim De Esav. And even though the Ran says he felt his skin, then, you know, he felt that it was the skin of Esav, certainly voice is a more important type of recognition. So Yitzchak must have been at least unsure and thought maybe this is Yaakov. However, he gave him the bracha anyway. Why'd he do that? Well, says the Ran, Yitzchak figured he's got nothing to lose. Yaakov's also his son, so he wants Yaakov to get whatever he can get. And Mamela, any bracha that doesn't impact Esav, he wants him to have. And any bracha that would impact Esav, that would not be what he wanted, then it won't happen, because the whole bracha only works because the person's davening for him, Yitzchak thought. And therefore, it won't work if I don't want it to work. However, what actually happened was, when he gave the bracha, he got Nevuah, he got Ruach Hashem, and since, not because Yitzchak davened for him, but because of the earlier Nevuah, because Yaakov was supposed to be the one who got the Bechorah, therefore it did work, and Yaakov said to Yaakov. Yitzchak said to Yaakov that you will be Gvir La'achacha. So that's why it worked, because Yaakov was supposed to get it anyway because of the earlier nevuah. Now again, Yitzchak didn't know this, so he gives Yaakov the bracha, and then, even though he had been unsure before he gave the bracha who it was, now that he knew the Ruach Hashem had been with him, and when he had said the words, Hevi Gvir La'achacha, that you will be in charge, that is something that does impact Esav. So since it came out of his mouth, he was sure that it must have been Esav he was talking to. Because like we said, it wouldn't have been true if he didn't want it to be true. If Yitzchak wasn't davening for it, it wouldn't have came out of his mouth. So when he said, Hevi Gvir La'achacha, it must be that Esav's there, because he knew the Ruach Hashem was on him. So if those words came out of his mouth, it must be that this must have been Esav. And therefore, when Esav came in, he was shocked. How could it be? Vayechra and Charada Gadol, he was so nervous. How could it be that I gave a bracha to Yaakov? And then he figured correctly that it must have been some other reason why he was able that that happened, which he didn't know was because of the earlier nevuah, but he realized that this was what was supposed to happen. Yaakov was supposed to be in charge, and that's why those words had come out of his mouth to Yaakov, Hevi Gvir La'achacha, and he was saying to Esav, even though I could daven to have it changed, I could try to have it changed with my tefillah, but since this is obviously the will of Hashem, I'm not going to try to have it changed. Okay, so that is a very quick summation of Drasha number 2 from the Drasha Saran. Okay, since we said we're going to start, let's at least make a haschala in the new Drasha and Drasha number 3. We'll just read the very beginning. Drasha number 3, you know, we started this pretty much around Parshas Toldos when the Ran is talking in Drasha Hasheni about Parshas Toldos. And now we're pretty much up to Parshas Bo, not quite, but pretty much up to Parshas Bo. And next week is when we'll really start talking about it, so that'll be the right parsha of the week. But just to start it this week, the Ran quotes the pasuk at the beginning of the Drush Hashlishi that says in Parshas Bo, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron v'eretz Mitzrayim l'mor. Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron in Egypt, Hachodesh hazeh lachem rosh chadoshim, rishon hu lachem l'chadshei hashana. This is the first month for you. It is the first month of the year. And the Ran starts off the Drush Hashlishi discussing why is it that Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron together, when he did not always. Why over here did he speak to Moshe and Aaron together? And Emir Tashem, next week we will continue.